Drive starts today, running from November 3rd to 9th. Donate now at cjsffunddrive.ca or text DONATE to 778-782-2573 and help us rise higher and reach further.
Hi everyone, I'm Charlotte, and welcome to Call Me Negotiator, where we explore cross-cultural business negotiation and how you can find opportunity in the global market. After living and working across Asia, North America, Europe, and the Middle East, I kept seeing the same pattern: great partnerships falling apart because nobody knew how to bridge the culture gap. That's what led me to study negotiation at Columbia and AI human negotiation at Ivy's Lab at the SFU in Vancouver. Our journey and work has been featured by Forbes, CBC, CTV, Jinri Toutiao, and more. And now, with AI connecting teams across borders faster than ever, the opportunities are huge. But without understanding how East and West negotiate and collaborate differently, those opportunities can disappear just as quickly. So, this show will give you the tools and resources to navigate cross-cultural deals and build partnerships that last. We are live every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. Vancouver time on CJSF 90.1 FM or listen live at cjsf.ca. You can also watch on WeChat live stream under 野蛮生长夏洛特. And today's guest, Nicole Hans, is a chef, plant medicine educator, and founder of Fitted Living, a lifestyle brand that celebrates herbs, food, and culture. Inspired by her Jamaica roots, she brings people together through flavorful food, good energy, and experiences that explore the healing power of plants in everyday life. Through Fitted Living, Nicole hosts workshops, dining events, and retreats, and has grown the brand to include a clothing line, e-cookbook, and kitchen collection. Her dream is to one day open a villa in the Caribbean where people can slow down, ground, connect, and enjoy the good life. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to our show today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I'm very excited to talk more about your show because we come from very different background,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. So you are from, you're Canadian.
So. Yes, I am Jamaican-Canadian. So my parents are Jamaican, but I was born and raised in Toronto.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, big city.
So, like, what made you come to Vancouver and start your entrepreneurship in such a cross-industry business?
Yes. Yeah, so I moved from Toronto to Alberta, actually, and lived there for 13 years. And when I lived in Alberta, it was the first time that I became an entrepreneur.
Right.
And that was the first time I did entrepreneurship with food. Mm-hmm. And really, it was a business that celebrated my culture. It was a lot of Jamaican fusion dishes. I did catering, that type of thing. And when I moved to Vancouver, because Vancouver is I feel that it is an energy of like natural vibes. People are kind of like living more of a holistic lifestyle, more of a healthy lifestyle, in terms of even physical. They're like more into yoga and meditation. I decided to modify my business to not just be about the food, mm-hmm. but to also be about the benefits of herbs.
Right.
So I cook with herbs, which is really special to Jamaican cooking. And I learned as I was like studying herbs more that there are so many benefits in the herbs that we consume, right? So basically with my business, I try to show people that there is benefits in the herbs that create the dishes that I make. And then I teach people how to, you know, work with herbs as well.
Wow, then that's fantastic, because I have to tell you that as a person who was born and grown up in China, we really value how herbs work.
Yes.
As you can imagine, the Chinese medicine,
yes.
they're like... I mean, as I grew up, I remember most of the time when I got sick, I would not to get a shot. Like, of course, I got vaccine as well,
yes.
but then I would just drinking those Chinese herbs.
Yes.
And then I do get recover. As I was educated by my mom, those Chinese herbs would really have me recovered and sustained for long term for my health.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct for Jamaica culture too?
Yeah, so for example, one of the herbs that I use in a lot of dishes is mint. Right?
Okay.
And so mint is a herb that I remember as a child, like if I was sick. We also drink a lot of tea as well in our culture. So mint tea was a major, major tea that I would drink often, and it helps with digestion, right?
Right.
And it also helps to settle your stomach if you're not feeling too well. And if you add ginger into the mix, it becomes like a great opportunity to fight off any infections that you may have, any sicknesses that might be coming your way, but also to help with digestion. So that is, because I'm so used to that as a kid, I also was like, okay, well, how can I also add it on the culinary side, right? So for example, I have a salad that I make that mint is one of the main herbs of the salad. So it has just very few ingredients. It's watermelon, it's feta cheese, it's red onion, and it's mint. And those are like the main ingredients. And sometimes I will add, like, I love to add heat because Jamaican cooking is flavorful, but also there's a little bit of spice, sometimes a lot of spice, it depends. But I always like to add a little bit of a spice so that there's like a little bit of a kick, especially if there's sweetness. And then the freshness of the mint, it's a beautiful combination. And then not only are you having a salad that is tasty, but you're also having the benefits of mint to help with digestion.
Wow. Well, as a Chinese person, I have to represent all the Chinese people. I'm not sure if it's allowed, but to ask, like, you know, what's the difference and the potential for these two different cultures while connected through this herb culture,
right.
To like, you know, what's the way to find the differences? What's the way to find the common ground that we can maybe grow the new industry, new business, collaborating, and make this become more beneficial for both people in Caribbean, not just Jamaican people, but also people in Canada, North America,
absolutely.
As well as China.
Absolutely. One of the ways that I've done it when it comes to the food side of my business, because we'll talk a little bit more about what I do with the business, but one of the pillars of it is through food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that I'm, what I try to do to try to like connect different cultures together so that we have this commonality is through the recipes that I make. And so sometimes because I'm Canadian born and I was raised in Toronto, which if you have been to Toronto, you'll know like it is a mecca of different cultures, right? So I will make dishes that are a fusion not only of Jamaican culture but of other cultures. So if, for example, there is sometimes I will do like a pizza, for example, and I will top it with fried plantains, which is very indicative of Caribbean culture and African culture. But then I will add like a herb like basil, which is more that you might see in an Italian culture type of thing.
Right.
And then that is how I combined the use of the herb, right? But then it's like the recipe combines the cultures. One other thing that I want to add, which I feel like we'll have a conversation about this later, because I also need to do more research, but there is a huge like Chinese Jamaican community.
Wow.
So when you go to Jamaica, you can get Chinese food, but it is Chinese Jamaican by Chinese people.
Okay.
And so that is also, I have done dishes with noodles, chow mein, et cetera. Like I've done a fried rice, which is similar to what I was remember as a kid. Like, you know, especially in, even though I didn't spend a lot of time in Jamaica, in Toronto, there was a lot of businesses that were owned by Chinese Jamaicans. And that's where I would get Jamaican food, right? So, and they would mix the culture together using the herbs as well.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Yeah. So we're going to listen to a music, but after the music, we're going to come back talking about the existed culture and the possibilities, potential possibilities for us to collaborate with in the food industry, how to combine the Jamaican herb culture and the Chinese herb culture together.
Yes.
And all right. So the music we're going to listen is called Ivani Bonita by Carol Jean.
With deep, unhurried wing beats, a dozen majestic swans fly in a straight line. their immense white bodies glistening in the golden sunlight of a November morning. As they fly closer, their long necks fully outstretched, the swans' syncopated honks reveal their identity. These are trumpeter swans. The flock lands in a plowed field to forage for remnant potatoes and other waste crops. With an almost 7-foot wingspan, trumpeter swans are among the largest of all waterfowl. At nearly 25 pounds, they are among the heaviest of all flying birds. Now, a second formation of swans flies in to forage near the trumpeters, but these swans announce themselves with a different voice. Just a bit smaller than the trumpeters, their distinctive whoops tell us they are tundra swans, a different species. Both species of swan fly south each fall from nesting sites in Canada and Alaska. Trumpeter swans winter mostly in the Pacific Northwest, while tundra swans can be found along both coasts and at a variety of inland sites in the west. You can see these spectacular birds on their wintering grounds anytime between now and the middle of March. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charlotte, and this is Call Me Negotiator. Today we have our guest, Nicole. She's from, she's from multi-industry, or let's say her entrepreneurship is covering multi-industry, and we're talking about the herb culture that crossing Jamaica and China. Mm-hmm. So this is a very interesting topic because we start to find the potential possibilities for the new industry that can collaborate together internationally, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely, Nicole? Absolutely. And one of the things that I do through my business is not just cooking, but also events. And events are a great way to collaborate in the sense that there is an event that I do, which is also a collaboration with another entrepreneur, and it is called Tea and Tarot. So basically what that event is all about is that for every time that we throw one of these events, we feature on one specific herb. So the last one that we did was about rose. We did another one about with lavender being the focus. And when people come to the event, what they get to do is we have a selection of herbs, I think about maybe 15 different herbs that are loose. And the guests get to create their own tea blend of all the herbs that they want. So they get 5 tea bags that they get to fill with whatever herbs that they want. Then we also have a binder of each herb and all the benefits that it has. So sometimes people will come and they'll be like, I'm looking for something to help with my skin, or I'm looking with something to help me sleep, or right. whatever. And so we're not professionals, we're not medical professionals, but right. we do offer information about the herbs to show the benefits for them. And I find that tea is a great beverage that connects both cultures.
Yeah.
Very well, because like I said, in Jamaican culture, tea is a very, very staple to our life. We start the day with tea. We have tea in the afternoon. We have tea at night. And if you could share, I mean, I'm sure tea is very important in the Chinese culture, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, as a Chinese person, I have to ask then, how am I, or how can we participate
yes.
in this celebration of herbs and teas and new industry? Please tell us.
Absolutely. So with my company, what I do is that I have a website and I will post events.
Right.
So the next upcoming one that we have going on is in January. And
right.
so that is like a way to kind of kickstart the year with this event, because it, I feel, is open to anybody, especially of different ages. So it is not an event that is only open to the young demographic. It's kind of like open to everyone, and it's very cross-cultural, because even with our own cultures, we're not the only culture that loves tea. Like, so many people love tea, so you can really open it up to so many other people. Another thing that I do at this event specifically, and it goes part into the cooking classes that I also offer, is showing people how they can infuse either an oil or honey to with herbs, so that they can use it to either cook with or to sweeten their beverages, right? And with that side of the business, the way that I'm able to even open it up to a broader community is that I am offering it over Zoom online as well as in person. So there's going to be, starting in the new year, there's going to be some hybrid classes where I will be doing it in person in like a studio with like maybe 10 participants, but I'm also going to be broadcasting live so that people can also join in live. And then I will be selling the recording of the class for people who are not able to connect because of time zones.
Right. That sounds really interesting. I would say the possibility for us to collaborate is probably like bring the both Chinese tea herbs and the Jamaican tea herbs and kind of invite more guests from both sides to participate. We have providers. We probably can have more like tea lovers. My best friend in New York, she loved tea, and she's always like having this public tea. I'm not sure if it's a performance, because it looks performance so to me, because it's so beautiful.
Like a ceremony almost type stuff.
I think she's just doing her thing.
Oh, you know,
she's
I love it.
Pouring tea, and Chinese people love to have this old wooden tea table that's like very delicate, like well designed. And they're just like doing all this. I mean, I have no idea, but that's like a tea art.
I love that. Love that. I think that the art of tea and tea drinking is so great. At the events that I do with my collaborator, is that we have encouraged our guests to bring their own teacup.
Right.
So we've had contests for like the best looking teacup or the most unique teacup. And another way to collaborate with people is that by having like a prize, we then work with other brands that align with what we do to offer like a gift or maybe a discount on something. And that's the way that you can really connect with other brands, because I find that when you're putting on an event, even if you're doing it just by yourself, I encourage you to reach out to other entrepreneurs that align with you, that maybe can offer a discount on something, or maybe they can offer a sample. And that way, when you collaborate, you get to broaden your reach, because each collaborator has their own following. Right? And so then it allows for you to just be able to be seen by more people. I find that's one of the hardest things as an entrepreneur, is to get seen. Right? Like, yes, you have your community, you have the people that, you know, anytime you're launching something, one of the first things we'll do is maybe we'll set up an Instagram account, or we'll do something online to try to promote ourselves. But it only can go so far sometimes, right? Like, before you start paying for ads and things like that. But sometimes when we start out a business, we have a very small budget.
Right.
And really, it's just word of mouth in our community that gets us going. But we only know so many people. So when you collaborate with others, you get to kind of tap into each other's network. And it just broadens your reach.
I totally agree. And I also think that, you know, it could be a new industry or typical or traditional industry, but have like a new vivid style to collaborate. For example, like as we all know, Chinese people are really good at manufacturing. Now they start to focus on higher quality, but the price is still low. So what you mentioned about the price and then the teacup thing, I think maybe we can get together, design some Jamaican Chinese you know, teacups,
yes,
or those kind of thing. Yes. And then they will make like different new decorations, sell the Chinese tea to Jamaican people, yes, and introduce the Jamaican herbs and teas,
absolutely,
into like Chinese culture, and
absolutely,
you know, wrap them up with our local culture decoration, all this kind of thing. It
absolutely
just sounds really interesting. I'd love to participate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And like as you were talking, I was just like, another idea popped into my head is that one of the things that I noticed that people really enjoyed at these events was to have an assortment of herbs all at their fingertips. And imagine having a little kit that was of like little samples of each, maybe 10 different herbs that you could buy loose leaf,
yeah,
right? So that you can create your own combinations and things like that at home. Because what I find is like, you know, when you go and buy tea, you're committed to the flavor, right?
Yeah.
In many cases, right? You go buy a box of tea, it's one flavor and that's it. Sometimes you can buy a box that has maybe three flavors, but still it's just what it gives you.
Right.
In this idea, it's like maybe 10 little bottles of loose leaf tea, which allows you to mix and match on your own, right?
Wow.
And you know,
yeah,
and it would come with like its own little bags to fill, and then you have the ability to create your own combinations on your own.
Yeah, I was even having, you know, some crazier idea when you were talking about
it.
It's like the global maps, and we can put the, let's say, the China and Jamaica or Canada,
yes,
and then we have different states or province,
yes,
and then we put the tea matching to put on those different map,
yes,
puzzles and make them together, making, you know, through this tea culture, through the herbs culture,
more connection.
Exactly. Like people know the culture,
yes,
as the whole ground,
yes,
right? Like I don't think, because I come from the negotiation background, this show is all about better collaboration through better negotiation. So we really wanted to make the theme more collective. Like,
yes,
negotiation is to me, is to find the common interest and the collaboration,
mm-hmm,
instead of like the crazy inner competitive.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. As you were speaking, again, ideas are always popping in my,
yes,
head all the time.
Yes.
Another thing that I feel that is a great way to even connect sort of like the Western and the Chinese culture, because, you know, in the Chinese culture, like manufacturing is huge, right?
Right.
It's really big. And as a small business owner, entrepreneur, one of the main things that is important that I don't think we talk about enough,
mm-hmm,
is having a good marketing, like marketing materials,
yeah,
right? Whether it is, yes, I have clothing, but even if you don't have clothing, do you have buttons, stickers? Do you have like t-shirts, you know, things of that nature? Because one of the things that I do a lot as an entrepreneur is I go to conferences.
Mm.
And when you go to conferences, that's when you really realize like a lot of brands have a lot of marketing material, and that is really important. It show,
right,
it's things that you can give out for free to people to help like broaden your reach. And then it's also things sometimes that you can sell and make money off of as well, right? So, but it is hard sometimes finding manufacturers in Canada that are affordable.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, like Chinese people are crazy selling good stuff now. Because in China, it's like an inner competition,
okay,
right there. So we see that China is growing bigger and moving faster.
Yeah.
It's all because of the fierce competition within us. But that is good for us or good for you, because they're trying to provide better stuff for,
right,
lower prices.
Yes.
So, yeah, but like when you talk about that, I was thinking about the workshop that you were talking,
mm-hmm,
because I think the workshop can include so many things, mm-hmm, like, you know, on the workshop we can have Jamaican, Canadian,
yes,
local Canadian, people from Toronto,
eight,
Vancouver, or everywhere else.
Absolutely.
And so many Chinese people are here as well, and then they can be the providers.
Exactly.
And also other people, like, you know, we do the live streaming, we do the broadcast, and then people getting to know us, then you talk about the clothing,
yeah,
industry and also the food industry.
Yeah.
why don't we just, you know, include everything in the workshop so people come here, yes. they get into the different culture and also the market, yes. most importantly. Yes, yes. And then, you know, the collaboration, the business opportunities just rise naturally, right?
Absolutely. And it's hard to build this if we don't get connected, right?
Yes.
And so, like, even